Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Did you get your copy of the 2018 Spring Garden Journal? It's now live on Amazon for only $8.95. Since I took out January and February, it really dropped the price. It's a great place to record your garden journey, keep all your data in one place. You're going to want to remember frost dates, planting dates, seed varieties, harvest dates. And just so many of my guests have said that keeping good records have helped them be the most productive gardeners they can be. Mike and I created this journal to keep track of what you're growing, what you're eating, what you're harvesting, and just all those things together. So get your 2018 Spring Garden Journal today.
Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast tonight. It's Tuesday, April 10th, 2018, and it's a special day because I'm pretty sure yesterday I broke 500,000, yes, a half a million downloads. And
woo!
Yeah, and today Andrea Catherine's back with us, so I am double excited. So welcome back to the show, Andrea Catherine.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. It's good to kind of keep me accountable and paying attention to what I'm eat, what I'm eating, how I'm making it, what's the season, and I know I can always benefit from whatever accountability measures I can get to be staying on track with my own wellness goals. So thank you for having me here because it helps me to eat in a way that serves my body well.
Excellent. Well, so what are you cooking? I can't wait to hear.
So Jackie, last week you asked me, you know, in this springtime before, you know, you all listeners are planting and seeing the fruits of what you've been planting come up that you're actually able to use. So just talk about what I've been cooking and preparing for myself. And so I roasted chickpeas for the first time this weekend on Sunday night. And I started the process Sunday night and I soaked some dry beans. And I like to start with the dry beans if I've got time. There's less processing that goes on. I'm doing the cooking myself. And then it reduces the cooking time significantly than if you were trying to just throw the dry beans in a pot and cook. It can take many hours. So soaking them overnight reduces that time a lot. And rinsing that water off. And I cooked the beans with cumin and coriander and fennel. And I think I may have mentioned the CCF tea in the last episode, the digestive tea, similarly to helping our digestive system when it's just in water. When we cook a legume with those spices, and you could also add black pepper and ginger and turmeric, those spices are anti-gas, really. They are going to help you digest better. You know that we all know that saying, beans, beans, the more you eat, the more you toot, that saying. There's a reason for it, right? Because if we aren't cooking them with some of these spices, they can be a little disruptive to our system. So it's really important to cook them with those spices or some other spices that are going to aid in the digestive process. You could even just add black pepper and it will help. And so I cooked the beans and then I was following, I only ever sort of follow recipes, but I really like Kate O'Donnell's Everyday Ayurveda cookbook. And I actually interviewed her on another podcast that I sometimes do some guest shows on, Yoga Healer podcast. And you can find her book if you like, or you can try this on your own and toss the cooked beans with a little apple cider vinegar and some other spices and some oil, and then let them roast. I think the oven was around 400 degrees, but it didn't take very long. And I just tossed them every 15 minutes until they were done, and they're pretty tasty. And so part of the reason that we're cooking beans this time of the year, other than they're a great storage crop because we don't have to harvest them fresh, like chickpeas, for example, they are also drying, which can attribute to the flatulence problem. and that's why we add the spices that are carminatives or help to relieve that. But the drying quality counteracts the wet quality of springtime, right? So you may have a lot of extra congestion this time of the year. The body's moving things through. And so using something, eating foods that are warm and dry and cooked can start to balance what we're experiencing in our environment. Now, if you're somebody who tends to have really dry skin still this time of the year, you're high anxiety, or you're have a lot of gas to begin with, then maybe this isn't the food for you right now, but it's a good time of the year for most of us to maybe roast some chickpeas. And so I was eating them over some rice and also a little creative concoction I made up with some root vegetables that I made a curry with some root vegetables and tomatoes and coconut milk. And I made a really nice meal and I topped it with cilantro. And I've been enjoying that in my lunches the last couple of days. So that was a new experiment for me, the roasting the chickpeas. And I know a lot of restaurants are putting them on their like appetizer menus, and you can add some, you know, real spices that make you want to shout if you want to. You can play around with it. That's the cool thing. I do recommend cooking the beans yourself if you have the time, and cooking them with some of those carminatives like cumin, coriander, fennel, black pepper, ginger. So that's what I've been cooking, Jackie.
How does it sound to you?
Oh, it sounds so good. But so this is my question, and this might be like the dumbest question ever, but like, so when you roast them in the oven, are you putting them like on a baking sheet or like in a cast iron skillet, or what do you put them in the oven in?
That's great. There's no stupid question.
You're roasting them in the oven, right? It says 400 degrees, right? So
yes. And you could probably do it lower and slower, but that worked. You just kind of have to keep your eye on them. It wasn't very long, like 30 minutes. But yes, I just spread them on a cookie sheet so they weren't doubled up or anything, and then tossed them every 10 or 15 minutes, and they were great. But you could add some cayenne pepper, some extra ginger in there if you want. You could get them out and toss them with some oil. You could put them on a salad. You can, you know, put them on a curry like I did. You can snack on them, which is what is pretty popular in a lot of restaurants now. You could mix them with like some nuts or have them on a cheese plate. But it's just a nice, it's another way to approach the chickpea, which, you know, is a pretty versatile bean. And that's actually one of my favorite ones to cook with for a lot of different Indian dishes. And I like it. I like them roasted as something different to go to, especially if you're somebody who reaches for snacks a lot and you reach for snacks, you know, aren't going to serve your body. It's a nice alternative and it's high protein. So yeah, I was thrilled with how they turned out, and I've continued to enjoy them throughout the week.
I also want to say, and I could be wrong about this, but if like you do that, what is it? Like the acid alkaline type of diet, that aren't they kind of an alkaline food? I could be wrong.
That's a great question. Let's maybe we can get back to folks about that. I don't feel like I'm qualified to answer that, but
I don't know. I used to have I just did a little search in my purse all the time, and I just like something's making like that. I can like practically picture the list.
Yeah, well, I just did a little search, and all this stuff came up about alkaline chickpeas. So my guess is yes, but that's definitely not my area of expertise.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, I like the thing about soaking it, because also it reduces your cooking time, so you're saving energy there.
Absolutely.
It lowers your carbon footprint. I love this because I love chickpeas. They're one of my favorite foods. I don't eat them enough, and I know they're really good for your diet. And as we talked about before, although I think I cut it out of the, or I think it was in our pre-chat, I am definitely a snacker and someone who eats a lot of food just because I like to, I don't know, munch on things, and I just get the munchies, and at night I'm just like, oh, what can I eat? So I don't know why. I seem to like, and I know a lot of people like lose kind of, I don't know if it's your willpower, but just, and I'm really bad about preparing my meals ahead of time and preparing snacks, but this is like the kind of thing, because, oh, this was the other thing I was going to say, like, I've been bugging my husband to make me eat granola for years. I'm like, come on, you're the baker, you're in the oats, you make oatmeal cookies all the time, can't you make me some granola? And finally, the other day, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to make it. And I happened to see this awesome recipe on Instagram that I want to say it was one of my guests.
I want to say it was either Raven Temple or Leanna Chu Nutritionology. I think it was her. And it was so easy to do. And I was like, oh my God, I am never buying granola again. That was like the easiest. Plus it was delicious. And
this sounds just like that, because it was kind of just like that. Throw it in the oven, turn it, toss it. Like, I was expecting this like total mess and baking sheets I had to clean. Nothing stuck to my baking sheet. Like, was there a big mess to clean up after this?
And this is a great time of year to make granola too, because it has some of those same dry, light, but warm. I mean, it's also really good if you can eat the granola warm when it comes out of the oven. Oh, I love
it. I've never done it before. Yeah,
I was totally like, I must have ate like a whole bunch of it with yogurt. Like, I always want it with my yogurt, and it was so good.
Warm. I made granola recently too, and when I do things like make the chickpeas or make the granola, in the health coaching world that I'm connected with, we call it batch tasking, right? So it's instead of like, oh, what do I want for breakfast? And I make myself an egg and toast, or what do I want for lunch? And I make myself a salad, or what do I want for dinner? And I make myself, you know, an egg or whatever. Or I said that for breakfast, but sometimes I might eat that twice, I'll admit. But, you know, instead of preparing each meal in its own, when you have a chunk of time, making something that you can use throughout the week, right? So this goes for, like we just mentioned, granola or a bean that you could use in many different ways throughout the week. Like I mentioned, that chickpea could be on a salad or with a curry or as a snack. Salad dressings are a really great thing to batch task as well. You could also like brew a pitcher of tea and then just have that to reheat on the stove when you wanted that. There are a lot of ways that we can save ourselves time, because we just have to get that stuff out once to prep it. And then we can use it in different ways. Sometimes I even recommend to clients to just chop a bunch of vegetables at the beginning of the week. And then you do it all at once. Maybe you're listening to this podcast while you do it on Sunday afternoon or whenever you have time to listen. And then when you need them, you can access what you need without having to use that chopping time. So I think you bring up a good point. And I think the prep time limits a lot of folks from feeling like they can cook for themselves as much as they want to. So there's a lot of strategies that we can use to kind of meet ourselves where we are and still get to do what we want to do and save ourselves time. It just does take a little bit of prep, and it does take a little bit of planning and creating space, a bigger block of time, rather than all these tiny little blocks of time.
Okay, can I say on the flip side of that, something I discovered last year, of like, I used to always feel like I was making sun tea.
I had to make like this giant gallon container. And so it seemed like this big project to put the gallon of tea together and put it outside in the sun. And so it rarely got done. Last year, I would put one tea bag in my jar of water. And then it wasn't as, so it was like the opposite of batching, because I was just making one tea bag of sun tea. I would make it before I went to bed, and then I had cold iced tea the next morning for school. And I drank so much more tea, which was healthier for me. Like, I would make like lemon ginger iced tea, or just like all these herbal teas to kind of like as a perk me up or something different to take to school with me. So even though batching is definitely awesome, and I totally agree with that, I just wanted to let listeners know, like, sometimes if you feel like you have to make a batch to do something, sometimes, like, just making a one-time thing instead of having to have to do a big ordeal can work.
Great. I appreciate you saying that. I think all of this is an experiment.
And then the other thing, right? I was going to say, like, you were talking about listening to podcasts, and, like, ever since I interviewed, oh my gosh, I'm not going to speak on his name, but Paul Keita from Rodale's, and he was talking about the whole process of cooking dinner.
I find myself going into the kitchen here and turning on my podcast and enjoying cooking more. And I actually find myself doing things like, I'll end up going ahead and making lunch for the next day while I'm cooking dinner, because I'm enjoying the
podcast so much. I want to hang out in the kitchen and keep listening.
Yeah, I love that.
Awesome idea.
And it's interesting because it makes me think of, like, sometimes if we have a task that we feel like is a chore, like for some people cooking might feel like a chore, mm-hmm. we are free to add something in that makes it feel more fun, like listening to a podcast, for example, or maybe it's inviting a friend over and doing some of the batch tasking with them. That's so I think the more creative we can get and create connection, because that's what the podcast is doing too. It's building connection. And if cooking feels lonely or you wish you were doing something else, like, how can you incorporate something that you enjoy doing into that process? So I love that you mentioned that. And also that you mentioned something interesting, I thought, because this is when we make habit changes or do anything out of the ordinary, it's because, you know, we want it. We have to want it bad enough. And like you talked about asking your husband to make the granola and he didn't. And then you just did it. And then you realized it was easy and really fun and you loved it. And so sometimes it does behoove us to just try something new and try something that maybe we're fearful might not be awesome. And then if it's not, we at least can check that off our list. And if it is, we can be pleasantly surprised. So I guess for me, it's still all an experiment as well. And I go through different cycles of doing a lot of food meal planning and then not doing that. And I need those cycles to recognize the benefits of both things and when it serves me and when it doesn't.
Excellent. Well, I love all of this. It's so fun to talk to you because I feel like I come away like energized and like I always learn something new. And I love to have a new recipe to go with chickpeas.
And I have all those spices because when I bought the cardamom and all those other spices, there was like turmeric was just right there. I'm like, you know, I'm going to get some fresh or what was it we were talking about? The curry and stuff. So
yeah,
I really like this. I've never been a big roaster, so I'm going to try to roast some chickpeas. I'm kind of curious if I can do it in the cast iron pan on top of the
steak. Yeah, you could try it for sure. And, you know, maybe I'll just have to make a trip up to Eureka. And we can make some golden milk and some chai and some chickpeas and have a little Indian food cooking day.
Oh, yum. That sounds so good.
Cool. we can record an episode from the kitchen.
Oh, that would be so fun.
I don't know how to do that, though. I'd probably be like, go to the other room and I'll call you over Zoom.
I can help you with that part.
was it you I was talking to about doing that one day? I was talking to somebody recently. I was like, well, I don't know how to record them in person. So I'd have to like be like, go in the other room and I'll call you on the phone.
Like, I love doing in-person interviews. So I'm happy to help with that.
Oh, cool. All right. Awesome. Well, anything else?
Sorry, I had to cough there for a moment.
No.
I don't think so. I feel like we gave a lot of good stuff. And it intrigues me to maybe talk a little bit about, you know, kitchen prep, and we call it kitchen sadhana in the yoga world. So sadhana meaning practice, like making a practice, a habit about how we show up in the kitchen, and not to restrict ourselves or punish ourselves or put rules around it, but almost to create ritual that then we enjoy. And I feel like we started to talk about that today. So maybe that's a good topic for next time.
Okay. Sounds good. Next Tuesday.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Andrea. How-
Did you get your copy of the 2018 Spring Garden Journal? It's now live on Amazon for only $8.95. Since I took out January and February, it really dropped the price. It's a great place to record your garden journey, keep all your data in one place. You're going to want to remember frost dates, planting dates, seed varieties, harvest dates. And just so many of my guests have said that keeping good records have helped them be the most productive gardeners they can be. Mike and I created this journal to keep track of what you're growing, what you're eating, what you're harvesting, and just all those things together. So get your 2018 Spring Garden Journal today. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.